Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Look at that pistol Pete.
Nice. Fellas, America, talking sports with the 12th is officially kicking off on March the 9th, Tuesday, as we always do. Man, gentlemen, we got an exciting show. Last week, y'all got too crazy. I had to, like, calm y'all down. Y'all were drinking too much in celebration of the 200th show. So I'm happy to see that you guys survived the week, man. So, you know, I'm just saying, just keeping it real here.
Wow.
And we're ready to get this party started. You know, we got a lot of things to talk about. We got to talk about how
you know, you were tipsy
excited.
Last week.
What? I was having a good time. We're going to talk about this week, though. We're going to, you know, have a lot of things to discuss. I'm going to check in with the fellas because I know that Curtis and Gary are so excited about Dak Prescott's deal, the four-year $160 million deal. So they're going to get ready to talk about that before we get started. I mean, Gary's smiling. I mean, you can't help. He's ready to go, man. So we're not going to talk about Dame Lillard. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about All-Star Game yet. But anyway, how do you like that, Gary? Let me check in with JQ really quick before we get this party started.
What's going on, man? It's been an interesting day. I went over to Cool Ray today, had to give you some training on the new equipment because Florida A&M and Grambling are playing a three-game set over at Cool Ray Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we got new equipment last year, but I only got to get on it for one game before the whole season got shut down with COVID. So I had to go, you know, get a little refresher. Then I went and got me 18 in, so it's a pretty day today. It was about 70 degrees and sunny. So when I got out there and got me a round in, and I'm ready to talk to y'all. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man. Okay. You run a replay for at Cool Ray, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, but I'm going to actually be directing the show this weekend.
Oh, wow. Congrats, man. Okay. Don't forget Little People, man. Hopefully I'll get a chance to – I wonder if you're still using Quick Effects for the audio, man. I'm curious about that. So that's
– I got a brand new state of the room from the Braves. They finally redid the room after about 20 years. So it's all brand new equipment. So I'm punching the keys Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, cool. Like I said, hopefully I get a tour, man. I definitely would like to see kind of go back to the stomping grounds because they probably changed that a lot, man, since I was there. So me and Zeus.
I'll send you a grandma's shirt to wear this weekend.
Get a what?
I got to send you a grambling shirt to wear this weekend.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
You think it's grambling against Florida and then?
You know, I thought, yeah, that's why I just said Lord. Whatever, bro.
Rob was like, I was saying this earlier to Gary. He's always trying to like stir you up. He's an habitual line stepper. That's how it is, man. Rob, what's up, bro?
Well, if our audience didn't know, uh-huh. He was an alumnus of Florida A&M, so I was just teasing him by sending him a grandma shirt. But anyway, thank you all for joining us tonight. Our listeners from all over the globe, thank you all for joining us once again, giving us an opportunity to entertain you all. We certainly appreciate it. As Andre has given out the numbers, feel free to dial in and, you know, ask us any questions. If you agree with us, that's great. If you disagree with us, that's fine, too. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Love to know where you're calling from. So definitely tune in. And also, I can probably give you, you know, a little bit of information about my asparagus meals today, too. All right. Well, we're ready to talk about
it. You sure you want to go that far?
We do it every week.
Curtis, Gary.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Okay.
You ready, Curtis?
Uh-oh.
Oh, is that
everything all right?
About Dak's contract, I hope, my biggest hope is that the Cowboys are smarter football personnel team than I am. I just hope.
Okay, you kind of broke up. What did you say, Curtis?
I hope they're a smarter football team and a smarter package of smart guys than I am. Because I'm not sure I would have did the same thing they did. Although, because he got hurt, that really put them in a bad position. You don't go off of Dak because he got hurt. You
Super Bowl.
Can't. But what I want to say is they're putting the belief in him that he's the guy that's going to get them to the Super Bowl. And today, he is the best quarterback in the NFL East. He is. But the Cowboys got more issues and more pay issues than just Dak. And that defense really needs to help Dak out.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Curtis,
but,
we just wanted to know how you were doing.
I guess he's doing fine.
Hey, I say this all the time. I say this all the time. Every day above ground for me are great days.
That's true.
Because I'm in a situation of a whole lot of not great days. But every day above ground is positive. Every day above ground is positive. Every day above ground is positive. They really are. And they really are for me.
Absolutely, Curtis. Absolutely. Well, the only thing I would say is, hey, I'm doing good here. You know, we've been on the show for, you know, just a few minutes, 7 minutes now. Rob has disappeared 3 times in 7 minutes. I think he's going for an all-time record tonight. Yeah,
who's counting?
I'm going for a record,
all-time record tonight.
Who's counting?
Oh my gosh. It's the asparagus. He has to get up and kind of let it settle, man. It's
hey, Curtis, we're glad you keep fighting, brother. We're glad to have you on the show, man.
Absolutely.
And welcome, as always, to Lou. Lou, always checking in from up north.
Yo.
Always. And, you know, like I said, Lou, I'm not gonna lie, man. It's going to be tough to join your shows, man, because I DJ every weekend, man. So it's always rough, and that's family time, so... But we'll support you and everything like that, too, from that respect, too. But the
door is
number
always
that,
open
that
if you
want to
come in. Door is always open.
Yeah, we gotcha. The number that Lou called in, everyone called to the guest of the line, it's always the 424-243-9519, as always. We are here. Cannot wait to obviously get you guys to check in and get your thoughts. As Rob said earlier, if you disagree with us, if you don't agree with us, if you're not a Cowboys fan or Cowgirls fan, whatever, it's always fun. We typically enjoy this opportunity to share with you guys. Shout out to my boy, to my man, Duke. Hopefully he'll call in and show some love as well if he's listening. That's my guy, too, so look for that, too. But, again, as Curtis already got the ball rolling, we are going to talk about the Cowboys. And, of course, if you didn't know, they have just re-signed him to a 4-year, $160 million deal. If you will. And I guess the question to kind of piggyback on top of that is also, is this the move that sets aside Dallas as the favorite to win the Super Bowl, if you will? And again, I don't know if this is Rob trying to, like, you know, just kind of poke you guys or just, again, just kind of seriously talk about this as well, too. So
number four, Curtis
kind of gave his thoughts. I'm going to let you talk about this, Gary, and then we'll kind of, you know, again, roll call. We'll go to Curtis. Excuse me, we'll go to back around the room, JQ, Rob, and then also if you want to add anything to that too as well. So, Gary, it's your squad, man. What's going on, man? What's your thoughts?
Well, what's interesting this year is Dak is going to – it's going to be $22.7 million against the cap this year for the Cowboys. Now, with a big contract like that, obviously you kick money down the – you know, down the way, whatever. But ironically, you know, like with the Eagles, you know, they got all of that money for Carson Wentz that they got to worry about against the cap. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, here Dak Prescott, you know, he had what Carson Wentz and Goff in the same. They're with other teams and, you know, trying to still, you know, be a part of the NFL. He gets a big contract now. I don't think Dak's the type that's going to fall apart. I think Carson Wentz, just from what I've heard, is he was kind of a problem child. I think he, you know, he came out of a small college, but with a huge, you know, he was a champion in small college, and he, you know, and he comes to a team that, you know, really wanted him and went out and got him, and he kind of had this ego about him that I don't think you see that with Dak. I do like that. That's a lot of money. Are they – does Dak make them a Super Bowl no. No, he doesn't. With things around a quarterback, with a better defense, with a healthy team peaking at the right time, those are things that make a quarterback like Dak potentially down the road, hopefully, a Super Bowl quarterback. But first of all, you can't go 6-10. You know, you got to win the division, first of all, which I believe if they stay healthy and you have healthy Dak, they would have this year. And I believe if they stay he stays healthy, they'll win it next year. Now you're in the dance. Now let's see what the new coaching staff can do on the defensive side, if they can create even a top 15 defense. Then that puts them in a better position. But you can't have the worst, you know, almost the historically worst defense in the league. And when Dak was averaging almost 33 points a game before he got injured, but he only won two games because the other guys are scoring 35. You can't win a Super Bowl like that. You have to have a team around you, especially a defense. But I think it's a good thing that they got him locked up to a long-term deal.
Oh, yeah, Curtis. Jerry lost that negotiation, bro. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they could have gotten him on a four-year deal a year and a half ago, probably for less money, but they were pressing for 5 years and wouldn't come off of it, and Dak always wanted to have 4 years so that his contract could come up when the new television deal comes up so he can get paid again on the new money. So that was always the point of contention. So if you did this, and the reason they're able to spread that out is because it's actually a six-year deal with the last 2 years avoidable to spread that contract out. But, you know, if you're still going to average $40 million a year over that contract, you could have done that a year and a half ago for 4 years and given it to him for probably 30, 32, 35, and saved $5 million a year at least on that contract. So gave him the number.
They offered him 35-point-something million, and he turned it down.
Yeah. But because they wanted 5 years, they wouldn't budge off. They wanted it to be a five-year deal. And him and his agent always wanted it to be a four-year deal. So they expire at the same time the TV deal comes back up for renegotiation because they feel like it's going to put more money back into the league, especially after this pandemic hitting, and they want to be able to cash in again. And I get what him and his agent were doing. But if you're Jerry Jones and you've heard this for the past year, year and a half, and then you say, oh, well, fuck it. Just get to do this four-year deal. And it's like, it's a culture. So, you know, at least double-digit $1 million in waiting this long. So that definitely won the negotiation. But having said that, I'm with you. You got to fill the whole team. Once you give Dak his money, Cooper's gotten his money, Zeke has gotten his money, Jalen Smith has gotten his money, Lawrence has gotten his money. How much money they got tied up in five dudes? You still got to fill the whole roster. And you saw last year, you know, and you play into it, you don't have any money, your debt takes a hit, now you got to take flyers on retreads, and maybe you hope that sixth round rookie hit. I don't see them as a Super Bowl contending team. They got their dude, they value Dak, they wanted him in the building. That's fantastic for him. I don't think Dak's a bad quarterback. I think they just overpaid for him because they panicked. And to me, he lost that negotiation. He could have done a four-year deal a year ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you all covered it very well there. And the key piece for the Cowboys in order to be a championship team, you all have already said it best already. They got a lot of holes they still need to fill. They got a lot of pieces in their secondary that needs to be fixed. They got a lot of pieces on their defensive line that needs to be fixed. And they got a lot of pieces on the offensive line that needs to be fixed. So that's three position groups that really need some help. And they really need some depth on their to help fill out the special team unit. They were middle of the pack in special teams as well. So they have a lot of, you know, areas they have to fix there on that football team in order to become a Super Bowl contender. So, you know, once again, the secondary, defensive line, offensive line, and you got to hit on some of those fourth or seventh rounds of undrafted free agents so you can fill out your special teams unit in order to have an effective special teams unit.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, that's one, Rob. I agree with you on this one. That's one. That's one tonight. I agree with Rob.
We're keeping track.
Gary, you counting everything tonight, huh?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. He's been watching. So. Lenny, you got that, Lou? You good? I know Lou loves the Cowboys, too.
I am a Cowboys fan, yes. But, you know, I mean, is this going to carry them over to the Super Bowl? Probably not, but I think they'll do better than they did last year. I mean, if everybody can stay healthy, you know, the Cowboys can make a serious run here. Because once Prescott went down last year, I mean, that was not the same. I mean, let's face it, you weren't going to rely on Andy Dalton to carry it through last season, were you? I know I wasn't. I was like, you know, crap. There goes our season. So if Prescott can stay healthy, you know, it's gonna be a much better outcome because, like I said, I was not relying on Dalton, not a chance.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And
to me, it's not so much about Dak. I think Dak shows some leadership qualities, but you know, if you just don't have the personnel around him, and like Gary said earlier, the defense. I mean, if you don't have that defensive line and yet that secondary. I think, to me, it's about the rest of the team. It's not about Dak Prescott. I think he has the takes, and I think he has the leadership qualities that can possibly drive him, but he just don't have the other personnel around him.
There it is.
Not yet.
Yep.
Gary, get ready for that famous cover three from the Falcons, by the way, man. Enjoy. I know you guys hired Dan Quinn as your defensive coordinator, so, again, stay tuned for that, you know, infamous cover three defense and maybe you may be getting Keanu Neal because we have not re-signed him as well, too. So we'll see how that plays out as well for the Cowboys. So help is on the way. I don't know. Hey, gentlemen, let's keep this moving here. I want to talk a little bit more about Rob. You know, again, we're going to talk about, you know, the third topic. Who is the better quarterback in the draft? And this is interesting because you're probably thinking, what the heck is Rob talking about? Comparing Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson. I know Zach Wilson is making kind of a meteoric rise, if you will. And I'm going to let you talk because I'm going to add some clarity afterwards because there's a quarterback guru that kind of talks about how we kind of compare quarterbacks. And there's a metric system how you can kind of compare quarterbacks. If you played 30 games in college, it's going to equate to how you played in the NFL. And he actually used an example of Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, Mitchell only played like a little bit and Deshaun played more, but obviously Mitchell was selected before Deshaun and Deshaun is clearly a better quarterback. So it's just, Deshaun Watson fits, you know, he played at least 30 games, blah, blah, blah. Mitchell only played like, you know, 15 or something like that. But yet we're kind of looking at Zach Wilson, like this guy is the next guy, but does he fit all the criteria, if you will, too? So I'll let you kind of talk about that, if you will. And we'll go from there, Rob.
Well, and this is really a question a lot of GMs are really asking themselves right now. You know, a lot of GMs really think that Zach Wilson is closing the gap between, you know, himself and Trevor Lawrence. For me, my money still is going to go to Trevor Lawrence as being the better quarterback. I mean, he's got the size. You talk about 6'6". You talk about the arm strength. You talk about the athletic ability that he has. You look at the 3 years of tape that you have on him, whereas Zach Wilson maybe 1 year of really good tape. So to me, the comfort level would still be more on the Trevor Lawrence. Now, there are a lot of general managers around the league, a lot of talent evaluators that really think Zach Wilson is really closing the gap and that he's someone that's really close to a Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert type. But for me, my money still goes to Trevor Lawrence still going to be number one pick, and, you know, for what it looks like. But there are a lot of general managers that really think that Zach Wilson is closing that gap, and they really are comparing him to Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert type going into this draft. But I just think the safer pick is still Trevor Lawrence when you look at his size, when you look at his arm strength, when you look at his athletic ability. Once again, you got a lot more tape to evaluate. You know, Trevor, although he was had some very talented teams at Clemson, he won a national championship as a freshman, went to the national championship game as a sophomore, and went to the Final Four, you know, as a junior. So you just have a lot more tape to look at with Trevor Lawrence. To me, he's the more trusted prospect here.
I'm a boycott this question. So the fact that Zach Wilson is the second person in there, and we ain't talking about Justin Fields. I'm not talking about it. So you go ahead and do it, Gary and Curtis. I'm boycotting this question on the principle that you got Zach Wilson there over Justin Fields, and I said what I said.
I thought you were gonna boycott it because you don't like Clemson.
Yeah.
That too.
Curtis, what do you got on that?
I think Trevor Lawrence has one problem. It's called Jacksonville. And he's gonna sink or swim on a college coach his first time around. And there's other teams that these other quarterbacks coming out are probably going to be on better teams, and may even look better. But they're putting the whole ball game on this guy in Jacksonville. And if it's going to sneak up the place badly. It really is. But it's Jacksonville. So what do we want to expect?
So you get some of these other quarterbacks in the league or in college coming up, and they get into a program where they're not that number one seed. They're on a team that's got a little bit better defense, a little bit better offensive line, so a little few more weapons around them. And then that's kind of skewed, really, he's probably going to be like Burrow did last year, where you didn't have an offensive line. You did a damn good job for having to scramble for your life, you know. And if he's like that, and then you have a college coach, unproven coach, I mean, that's just another – could turn out really good, but it could also turn out to be a nightmare. I agree with you on that, Curtis.
That's a problem.
Yeah, and then you got to wonder how Urban Meyer is going to translate to the NFL too. That's a big question mark.
Yeah.
That I have, you know, with him taking over that Jacksonville program.
Yeah, I think that, you know, last year in Burrow's case, he had, you know, some offensive, you know, head coach and players like that, you know, people around him. He needs an offensive line. He's going to get it this year. He's going to get that stud from Oregon. Once he gets that, you know, that's going to be a huge help for that kid, because you can't throw
Marquez
off your back. You just can't do it. Look what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, America, Talking Sports Nation, I am privileged to bring the famous Naj on the show. Naj is joining us back again. What's up, Naj? Where you been at, bro?
You know, man, a little here, a little there. What's going on, though?
was good. We are, you know, just anticipating, you know, you missed the fun part, you know, talking about Curtis and Gary, their favorite quarterback, getting the four-year, $160 million deal. And we're just talking about how that's going to solidify them to the Super Bowl because their division is definitely up for grabs. And then we were talking about the aforementioned, you know, obviously the best quarterback here between Trevor Lawrence and obviously Zach Wilson, if you will, too. So if you want to comment on that, we'll jump to Rob's mock draft with the next topic, if you will.
Okay. Well, like I get everybody's concerned about if Jacksonville's going to protect him, but I feel like what happened with Burrow last year, I think that'll make everybody kind of load up on O-line and protect some of these young guys. I don't think we'll see him throwing it 40 times a game like Burrow was early on in the season. And I think they'll be a little more careful. The only thing I would say about the comparison is I think Trevor Lawrence is by himself. I think everybody else, I think they're pretty much it's whatever preference you have. I don't think Wilson is better than the other two guys. Well, are we throwing other two guys? And let's not do other two.
You can.
But I think
everybody –
You
can, because JQ don't want to hear no part of that. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to say
No, I got what JQ was coming from, because it's like, okay, how you going to prop him way up over Fields like that when I would consider those guys in the same tier. I wouldn't put Zach Wilson way above those guys. The thing that's kind of weird to me, though, was the Mac Jones stuff. Like, I didn't see this coming. Well, all of a sudden, people are talking about him like he's this crazy prospect. And I don't know, I asked this guy this the other day. I was like, is he just an average guy that was surrounded by overwhelming talent? Like, you know, kind of a la the USC days or the Pete Carroll era? Or is he really that guy like people are saying he is?
Matt Leinart?
Y'all know. Yeah, we do this every year. Draft comes around, we talk up quarterbacks who people said were second-day prospects when they got on campus. All of a sudden, draft day comes around, man, they'll talk them dudes into the top 10. So, I don't know, bro. It gets weird.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That, you know, that's a really good point. You go back and look at the NFL draft in the last 20 years, there are more quarterbacks that have bombed in the first round of the draft than have been successful. It is it's really a crapshoot. And it's almost 60-70% of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round have totally failed when you go back and look at
Why
the last 20 years. So it's really a crapshoot. I think it could be a lot of reasons, going to a bad situation or, you know, coaches not recognizing the, you know, what skill level the quarterback has, right, for putting the right system in place for that particular quarterback. Sometimes you got to put it on the quarterback themselves and not putting in the work. Mm-hmm. Jamarcus Russell, classic example of that.
LSU.
Eating his way up to 300 pounds. And so sometimes you got to put it on the quarterback, right? And I mean, that's just one example. There's several. There are several examples. It's like 60-70% of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round in the last 20 years.
I was
going to
say that,
JQ, but
you brought that up. Yeah. There was a
so Rob, I got a question for you on that. I got a question for you on that. With that said, is it these coaches and teams around the league that are hyping these guys up, hoping that somebody else will take them? Is it the media? What is it that's creating this? Go ahead.
Well, I think
what do you think?
Teams want a quarterback, and they're going to keep trying to get one until they have one. And that's what it is. Until they have a quarterback, they're going to keep trying to get one. And so they're willing to take that chance because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you have to have a solid or, you know, a really good quarterback in order to win in the league, right? This past year you saw Brady and Mahomes, you know, two of the better quarterbacks in the league in the Super Bowl. And in order for you to win, 9 times out of 10, unless you got a great defense like Brad Johnson had with the Bucks in the early 2000s or like Trent Dilfer had with the Ravens, in most cases, you got to have a pretty good quarterback in the win, and teams are willing to take that chance. You know, until they have a quarterback, they're going to keep trying until they get one. Look with the Cleveland Browns. How many starting quarterbacks have they had? Now, Baker Mayfield is not great, But, you know, he's got to a point this season where he at least plays solid football. And I, you got to give some of the coach, I forget his name, is it Kevin
Stefanski,
something like that? Yeah. Yeah, I think he did a solid job putting Baker Mayfield in positions to succeed this past season. You know, put him out on a lot of bootlegs and rollout packages. You know, had a running game, had a good offensive line. And the Cleveland Browns, I mean, they had, well, weren't they averaging like two to three quarterbacks a season prior to Baker Mayfield?
They were.
I mean, it was insane. And that's not even exaggeration. And so all of these teams, until they have a quarterback, they're going to keep trying to get one.
And you've heard me say, before we get to them, every year we talk about this in draft, my favorite phrase is artificially rises. Every year, artificially rises. The draft process,
yep.
Because they are a quarterback. And to his point, his stand, nobody wants to miss again on Russell Wilson going the third or fourth round or Dak going that. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to do that. They don't want to miss it. Like, damn, we had two or three shots at this guy and we missed. So we're gonna talk a dude up. Hell, June Jones the other day came out and said he had Mac Jones as his number one prospect. I said, come on, June, you can't really believe that out for real. Like, he said that out loud in the interview. But they artificially rise, and that's what I'm saying. Instead of getting that dude in the second or third round and being able to pick somebody better in the first round that maybe helps that quarterback that should have went in the third round, now you've missed out on that dude because you sit this quarterback farther up than he ever should have been. And teams keep doing that, and they keep losing out, and that's why you have so many busts.
Yeah,
the best quarterback drafts that we talk about, they're like, what, five deep at most? And those are the ones we talk about, like, you know, those are the drafts. Like, oh, this is a quarterback draft. Every year is not going to have that. So if you got, like Jake, you were saying, people artificially pushing them up every year, then, this is going to be the result. It's going to be a whole lot of busts and a whole lot of teams that aren't built right because now you got to reach for other stuff. Because you wasted an early round pick on this guy who is probably not an NFL. And look, the Jamarcus's of the world, it's nice to say maybe he didn't work hard and got fat and maybe that was the problem. Maybe he just wasn't good enough to begin with. Because let's talk about him at LSU having that one game against Notre Dame, get talked up, and then drafted number one overall. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that happens a lot.
He got drafted
wasn't
number
Notre
one because
yeah, I want to say it was Notre
Dame.
I'm gonna let Curtis add something here in a quick second, Lou. But I'm gonna say two things because, you know, JQ, I was trying to show you some love also with a little bit more or less with Justin Fields because, you know, again, I was talking about that algorithm that you're talking about as far as the number of games that were played too. And just to kind of take it back, there was a great podcast that was talking about quarterbacks and. One team, Ron Wolf, used to amass quarterbacks. He had Brett Favre, Mark Brunell,
Aaron
Brooks, and Kurt Warner, a young Kurt Warner. So, again, he had all these guys in camp, and he was like, all right, who's gonna win the job? Kurt Warner was so skinny, he was like, I don't think this guy's going to make it. But he ended up saying, hey, you know, work out some more. We'll see you again. Mark Brunell ends up going, obviously, Jacksonville. And then, you know, obviously Brett Favre wins the job and Aaron Brooks ends up going to New Orleans. So you talk about he was able to amass these quarterbacks to get more draft picks and capital, if you will, too. So that's how you do it. You kind of amass talent to make sure that, you know, hey, if something goes wrong or this quarterback doesn't make it, I'm not putting all my eggs in that proverbial one basket with the Baker Mayfield. You kind of have competition to make sure this is going to be good, too, or build capital as well.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're kind of cashing in scratch-off figures to buy more scratch-off figures. Because it's like, okay.
That can be the case.
Yeah.
Those are still opportunities where you could have upgraded your team, and you're drafting this guy who you don't really think well of, and now you create another conundrum with the whole idea of who's the guy. So I don't
you're
know,
drafting
man.
The best player
and
available.
The other...
That was the thing. Go ahead, Nash. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but is it though? Is it the best player available, or are you – grading on a curve because it's a quarterback, and now, you know, J.J. Watt or whoever was on the board that you just packed up, you probably should have taken that guy. So I don't know, man.
It is like that is a crapshoot based upon the quarterback, like you talked about. You can only play one quarterback.
Or just
crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
Curtis, did you come back, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm back.
That's him. But, okay, cool.
What I was going to say is we don't have to go far back.
I'm busting. I'm not sure that guy that from Ohio State that Washington drafted is a bust or not. Probably is.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, who I thought was going to be all everything, he may not be that. You know, there's guys right here and now that ain't living up to what Justin Herbert did. And what Justin Herbert did became a complete surprise. And I was surprised at Cincinnati's pick. You know, I think these guys have got to have some kind of heart. And they got to have some kind of moxie to them. And Baker has moxie. That's why I like him. And that might be the only reason why I like him, because it fits Cleveland perfectly. But,
well, Manziel had moxie too, though.
What is that, JQ?
Fuck Baker Mayfield.
The middle finger, JQ?
I hate Baker Mayfield. Man, he...
I don't like him either.
Curtis is wilding. He didn't talk about Ohio State's quarterback. He talked about Cincinnati picking Burrow. He's like, talking about Baker Mayfield. I'm going to hang up.
That's great.
Yo,
I like him.
JQ is still hot over Baker Mayfield slamming that. What did he do on the midfield in Ohio State?
He planted that goddamn flag at Ohio Stadium. I ain't never going to forget him for that shit.
Look, for me,
whatever.
For me, there's still four teams that I don't know what they need, and I don't know what kind of smarts they need to have. There's four teams in the NFL that have not been in the Super Bowl. Jacksonville, Cleveland, Detroit, and
Houston.
Yeah,
we have a problem.
That's the four, and I have a problem with that. I think that's failure for their cities, for their fan bases, everything. How can you be in football, and after almost 60 Super Bowls, you cannot get your team in there? What is wrong with
that? Could go
with
Houston
won
the Ralph Hall, though.
Yeah, that's
the original
young
Houston
team.
Oilers moved to Tennessee and then they made the Super Bowl.
I'll take it for them to move. Hey, so Rob, we're going to talk about mock draft, you know, 6 point, you know, 20 point, 30 point, whatever. Oh, again, we appreciate you posting it to the Talking Sports page. Check that as well. And again, you know, much to a lot of, you know, maybe, you know, we've been really picking on JQ the whole night once we first started out with Grambling versus Florida Rather. So that we've been going at JQ the whole night. So let's let him have a little moment, if you will. But we did post, Rob, your mock draft here. So talk about that. And then, you know, if you want to kind of tie in which teams need to draft a quarterback, that would be great. I've got a couple in mind. We've got to figure out what's going to happen with the Jets, if you will. But, again, Rob, the floor is yours with another mock draft, if you will, sir.
Yeah, I know we talked about Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I won't even go into any more details on that. I'm just going to hop around on some of these first and second round picks. I won't go into any order. But Miami's going to be interesting at the number three pick here. And, you know, I hear they're going to be a major player for Kenny Golladay. The Detroit Lions chose not to franchise him. And I hear the Dolphins want to make a run here. And this mock, I haven't taken Jamar Chase from LSU. But obviously that could, you know, if Miami lands a Kenny Golladay, that could change big time, right? You know, you probably don't take Chase at the number three pick if they do land Kenny Golladay. And so that maybe put them in play for Penei Sewell if they draft Kenny Golladay, right? So it's going to be real interesting to see what Miami does in free agency. They wanted the team to have some cap space to spend some money here. So from where it looks like the Dolphins or the Giants may be the favorites to land Kenny Golladay here. It doesn't look like he's going back to Detroit. So that's going to be interesting. So what?
Sorry. I said, would you? Detroit, New York, Miami. Where do I want to live?
Miami, right? No state taxes.
tough call, man.
And the Cindy team. Hey, that Detroit style pizza is good, though. But,
stop it.
But not as good as New York style pizza, though.
Thank you. Are anything on South Beach? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
And we talked about Justin Fields. What are the Atlanta Falcons going to do? Do they ride with Matt Ryan?
Nothing.
Do they go ahead and draft the Justin Fields here?
Shut
I
got
to take them to Justin Fields here at the number four spot. So it's going to be real intriguing as well to see what they do as well. A couple of risers. Caleb Farley, a cornerback from Virginia Tech. I got him going all the way up to number seven in Detroit. Best pure cover corner in the draft. Patrick Surtain may be a little bit more physical and a better tackler, but as far as best pure cover corner, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech is the guy. Got him going up to number seven to Detroit. Mac Jones, we already talked about him. Got him rising all the way up to number eight to Carolina now. And then, of course, you got Trey Lance going to San Francisco at number 12. So that's five quarterbacks that you just talked about going in the top 12 of the draft right now. Rashawn Slater, offensive lineman from Northwestern, a guy that can play guard or tackle, got him going to Minnesota at 14. Joe Horn's son, J.C. Horn, cornerback from South Carolina, got him going to 16 to Arizona. Obviously, Patrick Robinson's not going to be back in Arizona, so that's something to look at there. And Miami, gets another player on their defense, Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher from Miami. So he could be another good piece. And we talked about the Jets. They got two first-round picks. They come back and get an offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins. They get a quarterback with their first pick. They get an offensive tackle with their second pick. You know, two very important pieces of your team. I guess the question is going to be what happens with Sam Darnold here, and that's a possibility that they're going to get more picks as a result of that trade as well. I'll hop over to the second round. Rashard Bateman, first pick of the second round, wide receiver from Minnesota, a big target for Trevor Lawrence, going number 33 overall. Rondell Moore, another guy, a guy, a wide receiver that I think is coming to be a big impact. Got him going 34 to the Jets. So if you look at this particular mock, the Jets get a quarterback, an offensive tackle, and they get a weapon in Rondell Moore, who can play wide receiver. He can catch screen passes and take it to the house, and he can be a guy that can do kickoff and punt returns for you as well. Asante Samuel's son, Asante Samuel Jr., got him going to the Bengals in the second round. Cornerback from Florida State, JQ's favorite school, and the second favorite school behind Michigan. Joe Klein, edge rusher. Say what?
I said, I fucking hate Florida State.
You got F on. There it is. Okay, keep it
sorry.
Well, we know how to get JQ to curse.
The whole time, Rob's been easy. I told you, Gary. Hit you a line stepper. Go ahead, Rob.
Man.
I'd like to apologize, Andre. You're right. You're right. Now we know who the pot stirrer is. Go ahead, pot stirrer.
Yeah.
Hit you a line stepper.
Oh, man. Another guy to watch in this draft from the University of Washington, edge rusher Joe Tryon from Washington, got him going in the second round of Carolina. He's another guy that could possibly sneak into that late first round, too. He opted out his past season. Yeah, he's got the perfect size and athletic ability. Another guy to watch. Like I said, got him going to Carolina there in the top of the second round. But the rest of the draft is posted on our page. I did complete three rounds. I'll be posting the third round here shortly. But for all of our listeners, it is posted on Talking Sports with a 12-man page.
That's right.
I tell you what, though. If you're Miami at three, even if you get Galladay, if you want Tua to be successful, they just traded for Isaiah Wilson from Tennessee. Now, he's a head case. I just don't think he wanted to be in Tennessee just to like them folks. He didn't like the cut of their jib or something. I don't know what was going on in Tennessee. But he was the first-round pick last year. So if he comes back and plays like a first-round pick, and you get Jamar Chase up there and pair him with Galladay, at this point, you're looking at Tua like, hey, bro.
Yeah, right.
Listen, you've got weapons. You can get you a running back in the third round. I don't know. If they still get Galladay, I think I might still pull the trigger on that. Like, if you want your young quarterback to be successful, give him a run game and give him some weapons thrown on the outside too. Well, you know, especially when you're getting it for cheap. So that would be a serious 1-2 punch. Yeah, I can't see Galladay going back to Detroit. He's looking like, please just set me free. At that point, this is just trying to trade him. If you weren't going to tag him, why would you not trade him?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to be signed in order for you to trade him.
But, I mean, but last year, you knew if at some point you made a decision you weren't going to tag him. I don't think that happened in the past 2 or 3 days. I think they had a decision like, I think we just might be hitting the reset button. Let's get our young pieces in the draft and on the cheap. Like, I think they knew halfway through last year they wasn't going to re-sign Galladay. And at that point, why not get something for him?
Yeah. I kind of would be shocked if they do get Galloway, if they get Chase as well. I think they're probably going to look at some other positions. And but if they do, you're right. I mean, that gives them 3 weapons, the Devontae Parker, Chase, and Galladay, you know, out there on the perimeter. I mean, that's going to be a tough pass. You know, if Tua is protected. Yeah, yeah. If Tua is protected, I mean, they're going to be tough to stop.
Right, yeah. I almost forgot about Kentucky.
It's interesting how you talked about them grabbing Chase versus, obviously, Donta Smith, you know. So that's interesting because I thought he'd be advocating for his guy from Alabama rap. So I'm kind of curious how that plays too, if you are going to add some weapons as well, you know.
And it's really weird. A lot of scouts are saying Devontae Smith is falling a little bit. A lot of scouts are worried about, his size and maybe injury concerns there. But I got him going number 9 right now. So he did drop a little bit in his mock. He's going number 9. And so from what I'm hearing, Ja'Marr Chase has been tearing it up on a workout circuit. So
that
even with the year off,
man,
they say he's been really impressive.
Yep. Looking at the draft, I think Jake would be really pissed if they passed over Penei Sewell. You had him go. You had them, the Bengals, taking Kyle Pitts. They would. JQ would personally march up to the Cincinnati Bengals and protest something like that happened.
I would take all them T-shirts and sweatshirts and put them outside in the goddamn pile and set it on fire.
Include that Burrow jersey you just got?
No, I would keep the Burrow jersey, but all the rest of that shit I would burn up.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you. From what it sounds like, it's either going to be Penei Sewell or another weapon for Joe Burrow. So, I mean, you got to say Chase. Kyle Pitts looks like he's going to be a top 7 pick in this draft, all indications. He's that talented.
Wow.
And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. It's either going to be a wide receiver, Pitts, or Penei Sewell for the Bengals.
Like my man said, you can't throw from your back.
Yeah. And if you're the Bengals, why not get involved in that Kenny Galladay conversation? That way you can totally focus on doing what you have to do to get Penei Sewell.
Because they cheat, Rob.
That's the purpose of having free agency before the draft. Fill your needs in free agency, then you can go out and get the best players in the draft.
Cheap.
We got about 12 minutes left in the show, gentlemen. So we've been really on the past like almost 4 topics here. As always, want to get you guys some time to talk about what you want to talk about, because Rob, you put a pretty good list of topics there. So I'm gonna let you guys go around the horn here, kind of say what you got to say. We'll get to wrap this up too. So I'm gonna start with Curtis. Gary. I'm sorry, Gary, then Curtis, and then Luke. You would add some knives and come back around too, if you will. So any topic is your world to kind of like speak on. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad you're wearing that hat with the number 3 on it. Huh? For Dame. Now, a year ago, we were talking about the 3-point shooters in the league. And you guys, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen and, those were your 2 main guys. There were a few others, Robert Horry, who's hit a lot of big threes in some really big games. But there's only two players that have ever had range, and that's the only 2 players in NBA history that have had the range, Steph and Dame by far. Who else has had that kind of range consistently? And you guys laughed at me a year ago when I said, how come you guys aren't mentioning Damian Lillard in that conversation? He's done that in the playoffs. He's put teams out. And I even that girl, Paul George, in his interview had to say after the game, you know what, I guess I was wrong. I guess that is in his range. Since he hit three half courts and he sent me packing. So I want to know what you guys have to say. I would like for you guys to individually apologize and then I'll forgive you and we'll move forward.
Wow. Don't hold your breath, you'll kill your ass over.
But that was those guys were pulling up from half court shooting the ball and all started getting up. That was incredible.
Yeah, but you know why? You know why you can say that? Because back in the day, if I don't care how good Reggie Miller is or Ray Allen is, let him come down and shoot from the logo.
Reggie Miller,
call a timeout.
Reggie
and put
Miller
back on the bench.
Could. You see how Reggie Miller's built. If he was 1 foot past that line, he wasn't gonna make it. And you know it. That guy is built.
No.
His sister built better than him, and you know it.
Hey, I agree with you. It's a different NBA. The emphasis is on the three-point shot. So, of course, range is going to be extended because, what, people aren't going to be out there like that. But if you think Larry Bird practicing and playing around, wasn't shooting from that range and making it a much more than what you would expect, like, yeah, guys always could do that. But it wasn't something you could get away with in a game, like he said, without the horn blowing and you being pulled from the game. Because the three-point shot back then was considered an inefficient shot to begin with. But now that everybody shoots them at such a high volume, and, you know, it's different. Look, this generation grew up with the three-pointer in a way to produce Steph. Guess what? There's going to be a guy that shoots better than Steph in 20 years before. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be that next. So it's just kind of just a sign of the times, man. Not that guys back in the day couldn't do it. I promise you.
Evolution.
Don't Larry Bird if you want to back in the day about how he couldn't shoot from half or something like that. Larry Bird would have took all your money, man.
Yeah. If Larry Bird walked in the room and said, which one of y'all going to finish second tonight?
Well, I'm a Larry Bird fan, but I'm not believing that.
Yeah.
I'm not believing that because as sports in general get better, you know, as they evolve, no matter what sport it is, hockey, soccer, baseball, basketball, you know, these athletes, the way they train, the nutrition that they have, everything like that. They're, you know, look at those offensive and defensive lines of those great Cowboy teams and Steelers teams of the 70s. They would get blown apart by these lines today because they were all, you know, 265 pounders going against these linemen would blitz right through those guys in this day and age. So the athletes are getting better, stronger, and faster. So I'm not saying that just if those guys would have practiced, they would have been better. That's not saying that.
Yeah, but if you're going to stop the clock on those guys, you got to give them the nutrition and the weight training and everything else too. So those old guys you're talking about, instead of having a damn second job in the summertime, they would have been training year-round. So those guys could have been that size. So can't take that away from them either. Like,
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hey.
Magic Johnson said one time in an interview, he said, we played Boston in Boston. This is the finals. And where's Larry? You know, he split the scene. He's nowhere in Boston. And someone said, oh, he's at his house. He had to go and cut his grass before it got dark. Well, Magic Johnson drove over by his house, and there's Larry Bird cutting his grass before it got dark.
Yeah.
He says, well, hey, bro, why don't you just pay to have someone do it? He says, why should I do that? I got home in time. I can do it myself. I mean, so I understand what your rule is, but when you talk about, it's not like everybody's doing it. You got two guys that can do that, maybe three guys if you count Harden once.
No,
the rest
no,
of them, the rest
of
them don't
that do
that,
that
and can't do
it's
that.
A question
no, they
of,
don't.
Do you
they
have
don't
the
shoot
40. Do
they don't shoot 40. No.
Yeah.
There are other. No. No. Not
I'm
LeBron.
Not a lot of guys who can do that. But that's a quick way to get yourself put on the bench. You ain't got
name
the
five.
Right to do it.
Name five other than Steph and Dame. Name five players that do that. Could do that in a game and hit them consistently. Name.
No,
name three.
That's the second part. You said do that in a game. That's the important part. Who has the green light to be able to do that? But if you take any NBA roster, you'll find five guys on the team that can shoot from that bench.
Oh, bullcrap! That's not true. That's not true.
Okay. You ever,
five guys
NBA
on
guys,
any NBA roster that can shoot 45 footers. No way.
Wow. NBA
no way.
There's a guy, Jim Less, used to
come
to the gym sometimes. He played at Bradley, and he had like a cup of coffee in the NBA. This dude was shooting from the volleyball line on us, with us all over. I'm talking about, we got D1 guys in there. Some of us played JUCO. This dude was shooting from the volleyball line on us. 6 foot white dude, not fast, couldn't jump high. Dude, we couldn't do nothing with him. Like, he's a league player. Like, the difference between an NBA player and a college or even a Europe, like, bruh, it is huge, man. These aren't bums we're talking about. And this is Jim Less.
It's one thing. It's one thing to do it in a gym with a couple of buddies around. That's one thing. And there are guys out there that can do that. It's another thing to do it in an NBA game with NBA players around you trying to block your shot or in front of you. That's completely 120% different.
Right. I'm just talking about the ability to do it. Like, you think Steph's daddy couldn't do that 20 years ago? Yeah, he could.
No.
Then he got pulled out of the game and benched for the next game, maybe? Yes. But he had the ability to do it.
Okay.
Hey, I'm not going to take anything away from Steph and Dame Lillard. I mean, phenomenal. Their shooting range is incredible. But, hey, just a couple of names from the past that that could have done it. You may not have seen it in the game. Hey, World V3, I tell you. I don't like taking the ball out because if I shoot it from there, it don't count. You know, he would. That was his famous line, right? He said, "World V3." Like, I don't like taking the ball out.
That is the name.
From there,
yeah.
And downtown Fred Brown, you know, back in the day.
Oh, my
downtown
gosh.
Downtown Fred Brown, man. Yeah,
not downtown Fred Brown.
Hey.
No, Fred Brown. Light it up, but he wasn't 40 feet out.
But no, we're just saying if they play within today's rules and expectations to shoot three-pointers, we would have seen similar things. And this ain't no slight on Dame and Steph. Those are two of the greatest shooters to ever live. And we're going to see that reflected by the time they're done playing. There's been guys before, man.
Yeah.
Hell, Jerry West. What was Jerry West famous for? Three from down their half to tie the game up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is where the game is going. And it's what I heard is that this is just like baseball. Baseball, they don't want to hit the ball on the ground anymore. It's either home run or strike out. Nobody wants to hit ground anymore. Home runs or strike out. And it's almost the same thing. Three-pointer or not. And I guess they do the math on these kind of things. And that's what they want to do. It's the analytics that they didn't have in the old days of what's best for the athletes and how to win and how to take somebody's heart out. When somebody doesn't miss from 40 feet and you're playing against them, it takes your heart out. I actually got to play against David Stoudemire here in Portland, in a Portland park. And Damon Stoudemire was coming down in a park in Portland and putting him up from half court and dropping him in. And I'm trying to guard him. And it just, you know, what do? Making me look like doo-doo out there in the park in Portland.
Little dude was a problem. He is an NBA player.
Little dude was a
problem.
Rob,
can we end this?
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. We had a lot of fun tonight. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't, unfortunately, give you that portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night is going to be March 16th. We're going to get you prepared for the NCAA tournament and get you ready to see how you're doing with your brackets and things. So we'll be back at you next Tuesday night, March 16th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Mountain in Albuquerque, and 8 p.m. Pacific time for our friends in Seattle and Vancouver and San Francisco. Good night, people.
Balloon Festival, baby. Holla at us.
Albuquerque, baby. October coming around. Hopefully we'll be through COVID so they're happy this year.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Get your COVID shots.
Just for the record, Danny
Get
Green
shot,
has more career three-pointers than Larry Bird. Now, that don't tell you that we're talking about different eras and the stats are kind of juked because we're talking about different eras. I don't know what else to tell you. Danny Green has more career threes than Larry Bird. Is he a better shooter?
It is. You all have said it already. This is a different game. And I think I don't know if it was last week or the week before. What I'm seeing in college basketball and in the NBA right now, if you're a horrible defending the three-point shot, you're not going to be a good team. And if you're not running guys off of that three-point line, putting your hand in face of three-point shooters, you're not going to be a good team, whether you're in college or whether you're in the NBA. That's one of the things I've been seeing. And you're just not going to be good. And another thing is you got to be able to shoot. You know, I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan. We blew out Duke this past weekend. I was happy about that. We swept them. But, you know, 16-9, they got all these big guys on the team. You got about 4 7-footers, but they can't shoot 3-pointer and they can't defend it. And that's why they're an average basketball team. They're probably going to make the tournament, but they won't go far because they can't shoot it and they can't defend it. And that's the difference.
Wow.
And right now, you look at the Utah Jazz, they can shoot it. And they're defending it right now. And it's, you know, that's the point of the game right now. You have to be able to shoot the ball. It's like in the football. Like they used to say back in the football, you got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to stop the run. In the NBA, you got to be able to shoot the three-pointer. And you got to be able to stop the three-pointer in order to be a good team right now.
It's true.
Right. Yep.
Well, I'm just proud of the fact that Damian did well. Simons did well. And I loved watching all those missed dunks by Zion.
Hey,
missed dunks. I loved it. The one thing he does well.
Oh, no.
The one thing he does well. And not contested dunks. This is the All-Star game. Not contested dunks. Wide open dunks.
It did kind of surprise me that the moment was too big for Zion. I didn't expect him to have nerves like that. But that kid's been good this year, man. Like, he's living up to the hype as a player. But, he was shook. He was shook, man.
Yeah.
But he was.
Terrence got the best of him. He's still a 20-year-old kid. We got to remember that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But see, gentlemen – you actually recovered, Gary, because I was going to talk about you because you didn't show any love to your Simmons for that. But it feels like the dunk contest has definitely lost its luster because back in the day you kind of had these contests going back and forth. Like somebody asked a question today, like who's the best dunker? And if you said that now, it'd be like I don't even know who I could even say is the best dunker. Like as of right now, back in the day, obviously you had. In a situation where you had Dominic going against the Michael Jordan, or you had Sean Kemp, or you had some guys that you knew like coming down the lane, it's going to be. I know it's a different game. Talk about 3-point versus that too, but Vince Carter, good call too. So you had all these like just dunkers, and you don't have that. And obviously, we talk about the game is changing from 3 points and stuff like that too, but that's why the game is kind of you don't have like I'm going to go against this dude. I mean, Josh Smith was great for us. I mean, you have these guys; these are just great. Dunkers, and I don't think that's in the game right now. You know, it's just very disappointing.
Yeah.
Well,
the dunk contest, though. Dunk contest is either going to be great or trash. That's how it is every year,
yep.
And it was even like that back in the day. Like, we'll remember Kenny Skywalker don't remember D. Bryant. Like, there's been some suspect dunk contests, bro. And then every once in a while, we get surprised where Zach LaVine and Gordon Knight shows up.
I don't think the luck is going.
That's how it rolls, bro.
It just seems like you have a great one. It's kind of hit or miss. You have a great one, and then you have a down one. And
But there's not guys going against that. Well, there's not guys like I said. There's not like a competition. Like LeBron didn't go. He don't want to. You know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's not like a challenge. Like I'm gonna Andre. You know what I'm saying?
Andre, is that are you talking about dunkers of today, or just dunkers of any era? Is that what are you asking?
I was kind of referring back to. I was kind of talking about dunkers back in the day, like whenever the Jordans and the Wilkins
like in the
era
dunk
too,
contest
you know, so.
Or in game time.
Well, that too as well. Like, you know, I should have been more clear with the question too. Yeah, definitely you had some dunkers that were great in the game, but then that kind of translated to the dunk contest, if you will, too. So, you know, from my perspective, like if you knew, like, you know, hey, I'm going against Jordan, so I'm going to bring my A game, so I'm going against Jordan. You know, that kind of competition should, again, elevate the contest, if you will. And instead of seeing, like you said, like Nash said, instead of seeing like a Kenny Walker or a D. Brown, it's like, what the hell? And you don't have, like, this whole competition to, like, let's, again, put on a show for dunking, if you will. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I probably didn't clarify that.
And some of the best haven't been in the competition. And but to me, the best in-game dunkers, you know, you got to go Vince Carter, Dr. J, and then, of course, Dominique Wilkins. You know,
yeah,
Lou Jordan won the slam dunk contest. I wouldn't necessarily say he was the best in-game dunker. Except when he dunked on Ewing, though. That was nasty, though. You got to give me that one, though. When he dunked on Ewing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, you know, Vince Carter, Dominique, and when Dr. J did the swirl dunk on Michael Cooper in the NBA Finals against the Lakers, that was incredible. That's one of the greatest
Shaq was
of
good.
All time right there.
Kemp was great.
Yeah.
You ain't going to talk about that man,
Shaq
Kobe? When Kobe came down and pulled it around his back and then reversed and boomed it, oh, look it up. Put some respect on that man's name. That was an ignorant, one of the most ignorant in-game dunks. I don't know if you remember or not.
Kobe was definitely an in-game dunker. He did that for the Blazers quite a few times. So, and, you know, being on the West Coast, you know, being able to watch that guy play, he was phenomenal. I was going to mention Kobe. Of course, Dominique, Dr. J, those are good in-game dunkers. But I'm going to give Rob a little love because an in-game dunker in today's game right now, you know, Zion. Zion can dunk it over anybody in the game, and he has done it. He didn't show well to me in the All-Star game, but I'll tell you what, in game time, that guy can put it down, and it ain't no little tappy, and it's a he's that rim is going sideways. So I've been impressed so far with his thick as he is for the vertical leap that he has. You know,
he hasn't had that nasty dunk over somebody yet, though.
Did you see
a
that
Bulls
game where he went baseline on two Bulls? Pull up that Zion clip. He got a nasty one a couple weeks ago. But look, if Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were in this contest, we wouldn't be saying they're the best two at it right now that are in the league, but they didn't jump in it this year. But like I said, man, dunk contest is always hit or miss, bro. It's either we're going to be on Twitter roasting them for how terrible it is, or we're going to be sharing clips of how dope it was. Like, that's just how it is every year, man. Good or terrible. Ain't no in between.
That's a good point.
Y'all remember Chris
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon a couple years ago? That was a great dunk
contest.
That was a great dunk contest with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon a few years ago. I can't remember what year it was, but that was both of those guys were deserving of winning it. That's how good it was. And, I mean, that was an incredible contest. Yeah, this one this past weekend, it was poo. It was horrible. And it was not a good contest at all.
And the judges didn't help. It would have been good to see the kid from Portland, Simons, against the kid from Charlotte, whatever his name is, Stanley or whatever his name is. But they gave him low scores to start off, so we didn't see more of him. And we ended up having to watch some of those other guys.
Indiana, right,
Pastor
Stanley?
Simon won it because he was one of the only guys that didn't miss. These other guys were trying just whatever they were trying, and they would drop the ball and miss. you know, ball would go somewhere else.
This kid is 6'3". He goes up, what was it, like 12 feet to get that? And they're like, well, he should have windmilled it. You're like, well, what the hell are you talking about? Should have windmilled it. This dude just went up and got it at 12 feet or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well,
you should have windmilled that.
Like, what? And that was crazy.
If you guys remember, Spud Webb won a dunk contest.
Spud Webb.
Yep,
absolutely. Yep.
That move was Dame's idea. He'd seen him do it in practice, getting ready for it. And they did that in practice. They set that up for him in practice. Can you get this? And the guy, he's got some hops. You know, he's got hops like Rob thinks he does.
Wow.
Yeah, and he also tells us how old we are because that young man's name is Anthony. And the only way you name somebody Anthony is if you watch Penny Hardaway play basketball. So the fact that that's his name means we all old.
Yeah, appreciate that, Naj. Hello, thanks for coming on the show and saying that, man.
Either his mom was a Penny Hardaway fan or his dad was, one of them, right?
You better hope it was the dad, not the mom. let's go ahead and wrap up the show.
But
I know it's been a long
show. Steph Curry and Mike Conley, that was pretty impressive. I enjoyed the 3-point shootout. Those guys were shooting the basketball. That was pretty impressive.
Thanks. Absolutely.
Well, I like Anthony Simons paying homage to the human highlight film by putting his jersey on and doing one of his dunks. I thought that was pretty classy.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Well, all right, gentlemen. Again, before we wrap up, I'm gonna try to be as succinct as possible. What do you mean no? What do you mean, JQ? No? You gonna end it? Talk to me. What? What are you doing, bro? Just say bye. Deuces.
I'm tired, man. I'm old. I was about to walk around swinging that damn club for those swing.
Hey, what'd you shoot today? What'd you shoot today? And don't tell me you played a best ball. What did you shoot today?
I played by myself. I shot a 94. Good for me.
Terrible.
94. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it is. I own it.
That's respectable.
It was awful. That course was whooping my ass. I'm tired. Y'all talking about the shoes and all the other things, man. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, man, playing 18 holes of golf, man, that takes like 5-6 hours, man. That's like more than
I'm about to play 5 hours.
Wow. Man, we are washed. Back in the day, you used to go to the open gym and then go to your job and then go out that night. And now we're talking about 18 holes being stressful.
Right, wow.
Man, listen, well.
Well.
Well, yeah, I had a six-pack while I was out there, too, so.
I saw a pro this weekend, and he was in contention. He was at some hole. He hit him a long drive. It hit the top of the rocks and bounced back in the water. So I saw him drop the ball right where he hit the first ball, drove it again. This time it didn't go as far. It went right in the water. Later I heard he got a 10 on that hole. I've never heard of a pro golfer getting a 10 on any hole.
They've all done that, Curtis.
Huh? Yeah.
They've all done that at one time or another.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah, and before we go, y'all don't have to keep lying about coming to America too, man. Like, you don't have to lie to people and tell people it was real funny. They're like, you don't have to lie. Tell the truth, man. Stop lying for Eddie, man. We all love Eddie, but come on. Tell the truth.
Well, man, what? Now I just took it to a whole other level, man. Okay, all right. I thought it was entertaining.
But then it is settled. We're all going to Zamunda.
I enjoyed it, but that what I saw was my expectation. I didn't think it was going to be like Raw 2.0, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Okay.
Sequels are rarely as good as the first one. I didn't go into it with great expectation either. I just looked at it as, you know, a moment of entertainment, And that's what it was. But, you know, I did watch.
Good to see Invo. Good to see Gladys Knight. It was good, like I said. You know, I'm like, ah, cool. You know, the fact, you know, it was great to see. It was funny. You know, like you said. So, but we ain't saying it's
Pepper,
you know,
Morgan
Academy Award.
Yeah,
it was good. It was.
I don't have
good.
To see it 100 times. Like, I don't have to see it 100 times like the first one. Like, in that moment it was good, but
first one was
bam.
Like,
there we go.
Yeah.
Classic. Who told you the first one's on now? I'm finishing it. If that was on, man, I'd
Yeah, it. That's like trading places, man. So many classes you like watch, like, oh, that's hilarious, man. So just classic Eddie, man. Hey, Rob, again, I'm
that
giving
boy,
you permission,
that boy
sir.
Good. That boy good.
Good and terrible.
Good and terrible.
Go to bed. Jake, you would go
cut everybody out. I want to pray
the Lord tonight. You got Gillen to get off that island, too, didn't you?
Oh, I'm trying, JQ. They just won't let this happen, man.
Right,
we
got
some problems here.
Alone,
Josh is trying to get us. He's coming in like stirring up trouble. He's trying to be like Rob 2.0 over here. Hey, I was going to say, you have my permission, Rob.
We got Gil again.
Topics from this
off
week.
The island.
I'm done. I was gonna say, Rob, you are free to take some topics from this week and move it to next week. You don't have to redo the whole stuff because there's a lot of good things. Obviously, some things may be topical as far as what's happened with Gonzaga, if you will, and at BYU and stuff like that too. But other some things, there's some great stuff that we can transfer next week, like the previews for the Yankees and the Tampa Bay, if you will. Talk about that and top seeds, if you will, and then, you know, obviously, you know, the Warriors and their trade opportunities too. So, and Arch Manning, a lot of things too. So just keep that in mind, Rob. You don't have to start fresh. You can kind of like, you know, cycle some topics and we can talk about that next week. Do the leave.
There'll
and
be a whole
get out
new set of things
week.
Going on next week.
Yeah, don't forget about some Myers that... Leonard so we can laugh at him too.
Who is that? Oh, Leonard? Man.
Hey Rob, make sure you say hello to my buddies down there in Tampa for me, would you?
I sure do.
End
I got
it,
a couple
Rob.
Of them.
Yeah,
end it,
yeah.
Man. Let's go from there, man.
Hey, BYU gave Gonzaga a run tonight. Gonzaga pulled it out in the end. Jalen Suggs came up big on both ends of the floor at the end of the game. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a lot of fun tonight. I know we did a lot of clowning, but, hey, that's what we do is barbershop conversation. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Don't miss us. We're looking forward to having you all join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Good night, good people. I'll catch you next week.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Thanks, Naj, again. Appreciate you trying to, like, get it started, man. Talk soon. Deuces.
Good night. Really?
I can't with y'all.